Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're going to be tackling a tough but really important topic, sexual violence. We're diving deep into this Australian podcast episode called What is Sexual Violence? From a program called We Are Survivors. And even though it's, from Australia, this issue is something that matters everywhere.
Absolutely. It's a global problem.
Yeah, for sure. So the episode starts off by defining sexual violence, basically as any sexual act that happens without consent. And that sounds simple enough, but I feel like consent is one of those words that gets used a lot without people really getting what it actually means.
Yeah, you're totally right. It's not just about someone not saying no. It's got to be like a freely given, enthusiastic.
Like they're really into it.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're actively choosing to be part of it, not feeling pressured or scared to say no.
So like someone being quiet because they're afraid, that's not consent, right?
Definitely not. And it's super important to remember that consent can't happen if someone's underage or intoxicated, unconscious, or if they're being coerced in any way.
Oh, that makes sense. So the source we're looking at breaks down sexual violence into a bunch of different types, and they start with rape. So rape is specifically when someone is forced into penetration, and that could be oral, anal, or vaginal.
And it's really important to point out that rape can even happen within a marriage. Doesn't matter what the relationship is, no one should ever be forced into something sexual that they don't want.
Yeah, it's disturbing how often that gets like overlooked or something. Okay, so another type of sexual violence that they talk about is sexual coercion. So basically, it's like pressuring or manipulating someone into doing something sexual. Like, I don't know, the classic example is guilt tripping someone into doing something they'd want to do.
You got it. Coercion can be really sneaky. A lot of times it uses emotional manipulation, like threatening to end a relationship or using someone's insecurities to get them to do something sexually.
Yeah, so it's not always like super obvious.
No, not at all.
Okay, and speaking of things that aren't always super obvious, they talk about date rape. And they make it clear that this can happen in any kind of dating
For
situation.
sure.
It's not just like some stranger attacking someone in a dark alley or something.
Right, exactly. It doesn't matter where it happens. If someone's being forced or manipulated into doing something sexual, it's wrong, period.
So then there's indecent assault, which they define as unwanted touching of private body parts.
And the thing about indecent assault is it doesn't have to involve penetration to be really traumatic for someone. Any kind of unwanted sexual contact can have a big impact on the victim.
Yeah, for sure. And then, of course, there's sexual harassment, which is like unwanted comments or questions or actions that are sexual in nature. And we see that all the time, like catcalling on the street or inappropriate jokes at work or
Definitely
things
do.
like that.
And those might seem like small things, but they contribute to this whole culture where sexual violence is seen as normal, which is super dangerous.
Yeah, I get that. So we've covered like rape, sexual coercion, date rape, indecent assault, and sexual harassment. That's a lot already. And it's heavy stuff. But the source also points out that sexual violence isn't just limited to the physical world. Like it happens online too.
Definitely, all the time.
Yeah, and they talk about a bunch of different types of online sexual abuse. One of them that sounds especially bad is grooming. So that's where someone builds trust with a kid online so they can sexually exploit them.
And it happens on social media, messaging apps, online games, anywhere young people spend their time.
That's really scary.
Yeah, it
Like, it
is.
seems like it would be so easy for predators to target kids online.
Yeah, for sure.
Then there's sextortion, which is basically threatening to expose someone's secrets unless they do what the abuser wants sexually.
And it's becoming way more common. It really preys on people's fear and shame. Like imagine being told that intimate photos of you will be sent to your family if you don't do what they want. The consequences are just awful.
Yeah, that's horrible. The source also mentions online sexual bullying and harassment. So it's like the same stuff that happens in person, but it's happening through social media and messaging apps.
Nasty comments, spreading rumors, sharing photos without consent, all of that. And the damage it causes is just as real.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, and then there's the distribution of child sexual abuse material, which is, I mean, it's not just about the initial abuse. It's like sharing those images and videos just keeps the harm going.
And this is where we need to remember the bigger picture. Every time someone views or downloads that kind of material, it creates demand for it. It's not a victimless crime.
Right.
It's actively hurting children.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really important point. They also talk about how adults pretend to be kids online so they can manipulate other children for sexual purposes. They call that sexual solicitation.
Right.
And it's scary to think about how many predators are out there looking for victims online.
Yeah.
And it's not always like direct solicitation either. There's also online enticement, which is where they trick someone into meeting up for sex. And they might like offer gifts or pretend to be a friend or something.
Right, exactly. It's all about deception.
Yeah, it's really messed up. So it's clear that online sexual abuse is a huge problem.
Yeah, no question.
Another really disturbing aspect the source talks about is the production of child sexual abuse material. So that's where children are actually forced into making new sexually explicit content.
Right. And that's just a horrific crime. It robs children of their innocence and can cause lasting trauma.
It's hard to even wrap your head around it.
Yeah.
Okay. So moving on, the source also tackles the topic of sexual exploitation. And they make this really important distinction between that and voluntary sex work.
Right.
So sexual exploitation is specifically about using force, manipulation or coercion to make someone do something sexual in exchange for something else.
Yeah.
So it's different from people who are choosing to be part of the sex industry.
Exactly. Victims of sexual exploitation are being controlled and abused. It's like labor trafficking where people are forced to work in terrible conditions. And then on top of that, they're forced into having sex as well.
Oh, wow. That's really heavy.
Yeah. It's a terrible reality for a lot of people.
The source also talks about commercial sexual exploitation, which is like trafficking, prostitution, and pornography, where people are being forced or coerced.
And here's the thing. We often think of exploitation as happening somewhere far away, but it's everywhere. It could even be happening in your own town.
Wow. I never really thought about it like that. That's a lot to take in. Okay. So the last type of sexual violence that the source covers is using it as a weapon of war.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, I can't even imagine.
This is where you see sexual violence being used in a really systematic way to control people during a conflict.
Wow.
Rape and other forms of sexual abuse are used to terrorize, humiliate, and control entire populations.
It's hard to believe that something so awful is still happening.
I know. It's tragic. And that's why it's classified as a war crime. It can cause trauma that lasts for generations.
Yeah, that makes sense. Wow. This is...
It's heavy stuff.
Yeah, it's this deep dive is really informative, but also pretty heavy.
Yeah, it is. But it's so important to understand these things because if we want to do something about sexual violence, the first step is to understand what it is and how it works.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
It's like we need to know what we're dealing with before we can even start to fix it.
Exactly. Knowledge is power.
It's just so important, like shifting that focus away from blaming victims and more towards supporting them and making sure perpetrators are held accountable.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one thing the source really emphasized was how important it is to believe survivors. I mean, it takes so much courage for someone to come forward and share what happened to them.
It really does.
And when they do, like, our first response should always be to just listen with empathy and, you know, believe what they're saying.
Yeah, for sure. It's not about judging or questioning them.
Right. Exactly.
It's about offering support and validating their experience.
And if someone's not sure how to help, there are, like, tons of resources out there.
Oh, yeah. Tons. Hotlines, support groups, advocacy organizations, all kinds of stuff. They can provide info and assistance.
Yeah. So survivors need to know that they're not alone and that there are people who want to help them.
Definitely.
So the source also talked about reporting sexual violence to the authorities.
Okay.
And obviously that can be a really complicated and difficult decision for a survivor.
Yeah.
And it's really important that we respect whatever they decide to do.
For sure.
But at the same time, it's important to understand that reporting these crimes can help hold perpetrators accountable and maybe even prevent them from hurting other people.
Right, right.
And even if someone decides not to go to the police, there are still other ways to get help.
Yeah, definitely. They can talk to a friend or family member, a therapist, a hotline, a support group. Lots of options.
The important thing is that they know they don't have to go through this alone.
Exactly.
Okay, so the source also had some tips for supporting survivors, like listening without judgment, offering practical assistance, and respecting their boundaries.
Right. Just being there for them, letting them know you believe them, and helping them access those resources.
And, like, not giving advice or trying to minimize what happened.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just listen.
Yeah, just be present.
Yeah.
The source also talked about self-care for survivors and also for the people who are supporting them.
Right.
Because dealing with trauma can be so emotionally draining for everyone involved.
Definitely. It takes a toll.
So it's really important to, you know, make sure you're taking care of yourself too.
Yeah, absolutely. That could mean therapy, relaxation techniques, setting boundaries, whatever works for you.
Yeah.
You can't help others if you're not taking care of yourself.
Right, right. And the source made this really good point. Like, healing from sexual violence is a journey.
Yeah.
It's not like a destination you just arrive at.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be ups and downs.
For sure.
And it's important to be patient with yourself.
Absolutely. And celebrate those little victories along the way.
Yeah, yeah. It's a process, right?
It is definitely a process. But even though we're talking about all this heavy stuff, you know, it's important to remember that there are people out there working really hard to make things better.
Yeah, that's true.
There are amazing advocates, activists, educators, and policymakers fighting to prevent sexual violence, support survivors, and hold perpetrators accountable.
So it's not all doom and gloom.
No, not at all. And every single one of us can play a part in that. Whether it's educating ourselves, speaking out against harmful attitudes, or just being there for someone who's been affected by sexual violence.
So we all have a role to play.
We do.
Yeah, that's a good point. We've talked about a lot in this deep dive.
We have.
Like, from the different forms of sexual violence to the impact it has on survivors,
mm-hmm.
and the importance of consent and support and prevention.
Yeah, it's been a good overview.
Yeah, and it's definitely a reminder that this issue affects all of us.
Yeah.
Whether we've experienced it directly or not.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, what's interesting is that even though this is such a heavy topic, I feel like there's also this sense of hope that comes from understanding it better.
Yeah, I do.
And, like, knowledge can be really empowering. And by talking about these things, we're taking steps towards a world where sexual violence isn't tolerated anymore.
I agree with that. It feels like we're shifting away from silence and shame and moving towards, like, open dialogue and action.
For sure. And that shift is so important if we want to create real change.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not just about talking, though. It's about actually doing something.
Back silent.
So, like, what are some concrete steps people can take to make a difference?
Okay. So first and foremost, educate yourself. Learn about the different types of sexual violence, their red flags, the resources that are out there. The more you know, the better you'll be able to recognize these issues and respond to them.
So knowledge is power, as they say.
It really is. And then share that knowledge. Talk to your friends and family, your coworkers, whoever. Talk about these issues. Challenge those harmful attitudes and stereotypes.
Be an advocate?
Yes. Create a ripple effect. And don't underestimate the power of those small actions either. Even donating to a local rape crisis center or volunteering your time can make a huge difference.
Every little bit counts.
It really does. And if you're feeling overwhelmed or lost, remember that there are organizations and people who've dedicated their lives to this work. Reach out to them. Ask questions. Get involved in whatever way feels right for you.
This deep dive has been so informative.
No.
I feel like I've learned a lot. And it's given me a lot to think about.
That's great. And if I could just leave our listeners with one final thought.
Okay.
It would be this. Believe survivors, support them, and never stop fighting for a world where sexual violence doesn't exist.
Those are powerful words to end on.